after saying, "You jerk, you could have been sleeping for the last 6 hours instead of fighting a stupid headache." Okay? So we all, Jim, we all have those time periods, but the only way that I really know to break through confusion and resistance within yourself is through meditation of some form or another.
Well, I was planning on not doing the last 6 weeks, and today I decided I'm not going to do this, it's ridiculous. And then I thought, no, wait a minute, the last 6 weeks, we're the ones how to contact their higher self.
Right. Right.
So there's, it's like a battle going on.
Right.
On which side's right.
Uh-huh.
So true.
Yeah.
And I dread, uh-huh. I fear these homework assignments.
Uh-huh.
I'm really actually fear them.
Uh-huh.
I get adrenaline when I go, oh, today's, I got to do this thing. And I just get scared.
Okay.
I'm afraid of failing.
I have the same feeling. Uh-huh. You're a Pisces.
Of,
you're
yeah,
Pisces.
He's a Pisces.
I have a Pisces rising, and I just because I can see that in myself. Like, I, or I get resistive of things that are very interesting to me
yeah.
that I need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not trying to diagnose.
But
you.
I actually know. I you know what you're saying. I do feel. Seriously, I don't want to put these words into your mouth because you could have. It's possible that karmic power is giving you an aversion reaction for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's more likely that Karen is right, that you're dealing with your own resistance. Do you remember in the first 6 weeks, I told you that story about a former student of mine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she was a Pisces, okay? So, and Jane is saying, I don't have any fear of this, I like this.
You're a Pisces.
But it is,
wow,
it is a
see, my
Pisces
a
kind of reaction.
And have those reactions yes. to things.
Interesting about Pisces.
See my Virgo.
Yeah, well, you have a little counterbalance there.
Yeah, right.
But Pisces is an interesting sign. Most people who either are Pisces or have a lot of planetary placements in Pisces are either very, very religious.
That's what I was.
Okay? Because, you see, Pisceans have it's like an automatic, instinctive appreciation that there's another world out there. Pisceans are born knowing this. They don't question it. They know it. But the reaction is, if it's something quote-unquote occult,
yeah.
I don't want to know about it. And so the great number of Pisceans, the typical Piscean, slants towards making their otherworld connections through a religious focus, and that way they feel safe and protected. And what you're doing is you're stepping out of the quote-unquote protection of the system
mm-hmm.
into something which, you know, intellectually might feel right, but inside is a little bit shaky. It's like, hey, what happens if there's no protection in this, okay? So there's more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Part of it is a fear of accomplishment, a fear of success. Okay? Gee, if I can do this, if I'm successful with this, I might have to change my self-image. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But there's another part of it that's literally, and this is the Piscean part of you has a greater trouble with this. There's a fear of being invaded. And every Piscean has this. Pisces is the most receptive astrological sign in the zodiac. And especially, you know, why is your fear or your aversion intensifying as we go on? Because you're intensifying your sensitivity. And you were born with tremendous sensitivity as a Pisces. And you probably spent the first 40 years of your life developing as much intellectualism as you could to hide behind a shell so that you didn't have to feel those things that you were so sensitive to. And here we are in class learning how to make those walls malleable and be more sensitive, i.e. more open, and from your Piscean point of view, more potentially the sitting duck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is scary.
Well, I do tend to think of other people's.
Uh-huh.
I always did.
But remember, what's a big part of this class also?
Protection.
Right, okay. And I make, you know, I have enough Pisces in me that I'm very, very concerned.
Remember, I'm more Scorpion than
right. Uh-huh.
My mom's a Pisces, and, you know, she kept telling me, you take astrology, you tell your astrologer. I was the seventh child in the seventh family, and I had a born with a veil. I tell her what that is. You know, she's always been able to be psychic. She's wacky, my mother.
Uh-huh.
She's
yeah.
Well, I must have suppressed it. I always wanted to be.
Yeah, she is. She's super psychic.
Uh-huh.
I picked it up from her, actually, as
mm-hmm.
a kid, too, because
yeah.
I had the Pisces.
Yeah.
That's why I identify with it.
But realize, and I don't know if any of that helped you.
Well, it does a little bit. But I'm ignoring that negative feeling, right? I mean, there's a couple times several times into the lessons, yeah. I have wanted to get up and leave.
Yeah, especially when I said, rub your hands together, feel your aura, and I reach out and feel someone else's, and at the instant you said, oh no, not me.
The other time was when we did the mantras, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Part of the reason is I told myself because I have a trained voice and I didn't want to break any windows in here. And the other was that I was just so embarrassed. I mean, it was just off, most uncomfortable 10 minutes I ever spent in my life.
And here you are, probably the person with the best voice in the room, but that, it frightened you.
Yeah.
Okay?
That guy had scared me.
Uh-huh. And you want to know why?
Why?
I can tell you about that one. Oh. Mantra works on the throat. Mm-hmm. Okay? Works to clear the throat chakra. What does the throat chakra do? Who remembers?
What does it do?
What is it, the seat of? What part of you is it?
The seat of your
will.
Not your emotions.
Your will.
Will.
Your will.
Will. Yes. Right,
will.
The will.
Personal, a will. Okay? The ability to assert. The ability to say, this is. Okay?
Right, definitely.
And I think that explains why.
You wanted me to do that in the third week. And uh-huh. I would make up all kinds of excuses why I can't do people think I'm crazy. Yeah. There's no place I can be.
Uh-huh. And now, see, what this says to me, again, is that, and this is something in your meditation.
Okay, well, I never addressed that, yeah.
Well, before you meditate, you know, rub your forehead and say, you know, this is something that I would like the answer to, okay? I want to understand what this aversion in me is. So rub your third eye and say that. What is this aversion to doing mantra? And then do your meditation without the mantra. Just do a regular meditation and put it completely out of your mind. Don't even worry about it. Don't even try to think about it later in the day.
Yeah.
Sometime during the day following that meditation, you will understand. You will have your answer. Okay? That higher consciousness will bring it through for you. And the best way to get those answers is to put that in your mind first, then still the mind. And that will allow that focus to come through. My feeling is, and this is something you can give some conscious thought to, that probably there is something inside of you which is fearful of asserting. And I don't think that it's that you're afraid you can't. I think it's probably that you're afraid you'll hurt someone if you do. Or you might be fearful of alienating someone, or that people won't like you anymore. You have allowed your throat center to become blocked because you don't want to over-assert. That's my feeling, and that's a psychic perception. That's my reading of you. I could be wrong. Anybody can be wrong in an assessment like that, but that's my feeling. And yeah, and I think that as you work with mantra, even in the beginning, if you go like, you know,
why am I doing it in the car? I mean, you should do it driving, but I'm doing it.
Oh, mantra in the car is great.
Okay,
everybody thinks you're singing. And as you work with it, you'll probably gradually get rid of that problem. And I think maybe what you've got to instruct yourself is, when I use my will to assert, I will do it diplomatically. Because probably that fear is because at some time in the past where you asserted, you either hurt someone or they said they were hurt, and that's probably where the block came from to begin with.
The OC against me.
Right. Yeah.
The OC.
That's not a little opposition.
Sure,
no.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of a big thing. And meanwhile, what you've got to do is blend diplomacy with assertion. That's your goal. And then assertion is no problem.
Diplomacy is no problem. Everybody tells me it's the assertion that's the problem.
Now you've got to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what you did is you suppressed the assertion because you didn't have the diplomacy. Now you've learned the diplomacy. Now you can bring the assertion back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Being diplomatic is easy when you're not asserting.
Yes.
It's a lot more tricky to be diplomatic when you are assertive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But quite possible, you know? It's quite possible.
I'm sorry,
I
digress.
Yeah?
No, take my word for it.
Oh, I know.
Because I'm a Pisces, and about 5 years ago...
But you're a wood, that's what they tell me, I'm a Pisces.
I used to be. But about 5 years ago, they made me a supervisor, and I had to learn real quick, and I was very assertive, but I was very diplomatic at the same time. And it really did change me with working with those 14 people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being over them. And now I'm in a job where I'm by myself all the time and never see anybody.
Well, I've always risen to a leadership position every job I've ever had.
Yeah.
And it's every one of his hands, I've handled differently. I try to be nasty and I can't. That's just not
me. That's not a Pisces thing.
And so I have to be me.
Yeah.
And when I'm uncomfortable with, I have to be.
Well, that's something you're going to, what will happen if you practice your mantra, your ability to be assertive and do it smoothly will improve. Yeah. It's difficult now, but it will gradually improve.
Can't be nasty.
Hold it. Why are you, you right off the bat, you've got a problem here. You are automatically assuming that assertion is nasty. And that's the block.
Well, most assertive people I know are nasty.
I'm not. I'm very assertive.
No, you're assertive. I mean,
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Boy, I'm sorry about this, but I really don't let anybody get away with anything. That's assertion. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know anybody who's gotten angry with me for it. See, and it's as you practice. The point is, Jim, that as you practice the mantra, as you work with your voice, and work up and down the scale like we talked about, mm-hmm. and your ability to be assertive will improve.
Well,
and assertive diplomatically.
I had an uncontrollable urge to sing thirds and stuff, you know, and I didn't want to do that.
Then do them.
Well, that's when you were doing that. That's what I wanted to do. Was
yes, that's that. What you should have been doing. Yes.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, that would have been beautiful.
Wow.
Let me just share this with you because this is something you may want to practice on your own. I have a friend who is a gem and stone dealer, and she's got a clear quartz crystal that stands about this high, one single point. It's a beautiful crystal. And we got a group of about 8 people together and set this crystal on the floor in the middle of the group.
Wow.
And for about an hour, we all did mantra.
That cleanses, right, all that?
It was the most beautiful, cleansing, clearing experience I have ever had in my life. First off, you know, mantra on your own is wonderful, but mantra in a group there's something almost miraculous about it. And adding the crystal in, which could resonate to all those voices, was even more special. So if you ever have the opportunity to do that, even on your own, do it. Another thing, little known, there was a while back in New York, there was a Buddhist temple that had mantra 24 hours a day. You could go into the temple, join the group, and all day long people were joining and leaving and joining and leaving and joining and leaving, and the door was always open. It was a continuous mantra. It's a proven technique for opening and developing all of the centers using the throat. Okay, so it's a wonderful, wonderful technique.
It's monosyllabic, right? You know, and it's, I mean, one syllable, or any one you choose.
It could be any one.
Yeah.
The common ones, okay, that we use, Om, which is the name of God, mm-hmm. So Hum, which is just a nothing word that keeps the breath flowing. But in the Eastern tradition, India specifically, they have all different mantras. There are tons and tons of them. I have, if you're interested, I'll look them up and have them available for you the next time we meet. But I have a list of mantras that are all different names for God and things to bring into your life. You've heard of using... it slips my mind. But what's the word for it when you say something over and over again that you want to bring into your life? My brain isn't working so well this evening. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have a specific thing, you know,
manifest.
Right. You want to manifest a specific thing in your life. Use it as a mantra. Sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And cleanse every chakra with that thought, that word. The mantras that come out of India are all Sanskrit words. And the reason they're Sanskrit, I'm not just saying this object. I am giving you the actual vibration of this object. Okay? That's what makes Sanskrit a sacred language. The words are the actual vibration. The only other original language on the planet is Hebrew. And the problem with Hebrew is that Hebrew is a lost language. We have it in writing, but we don't have it to speak any longer. The Hebrew that's spoken right now in Israel, what they did when they created the state of Israel, or the country of Israel, they went into the surrounding desert areas and said, okay, well, this is similar to this word, so it must be pronounced this way. But for centuries, Hebrew was only written, and so the what it really sounds like is lost.
Oh, that's too bad.
So this is why when
what about the Yiddish?
No, it's not really true. Well, Yiddish is something totally
different.
It's totally different. Yiddish is a Germanic tongue, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know, Hebrew is an original language, and a lot of particularly magic books, the people who are into studying and learning about magic, will say that this Hebrew word must be pronounced exactly. And when I see that, I always kind of laugh, because how can you pronounce something exactly that nobody really knows how to pronounce anymore? The best I think you can do is to study with a rabbi if you want to learn the Hebrew pronunciation, but all the time realizing that it's not necessarily a true pronunciation, because it is only arrived at by studying the desert tribes in the area that it was supposedly to have originated in. Whereas Sanskrit is still alive in its original form. At any rate, when you work with Hebrew names of God, Yod He Vav He would be one name of God. Jehovah. You could use these. Okay, Yahweh. You can use these names as mantras. Or you can go and use the Indian Sanskrit words for mantras. Or you can create your own. But if you create your own, now it's the thought that's more important than the sound. So you've got to make sure you keep your mind on the thought. The sound won't be accurate to the thought. Also, if you ever have the chance to study in an ashram with a yogi who works with mantra, there are very special people who hear your vibration. And hearing your vibration will give it back to you in a tone. Okay?
Yeah.
And now you have a very personal mantra that helps to realign your own magnetic forces as you give voice to it. Is this giving you a better idea, Jim, of what...
I'm sorry to do this to you.
Well, this is our last session in this series, so it is a good time to go back over any of these things that we've learned. Okay?
Well, I've been wanting to ask these questions, but I'm afraid that I...
See?
No,
it's
working.
It's working. All this mantraing you've been practicing in the car, and this is the first week that you've come in and said, I've had difficulty getting here, I'm dealing with all of these conflicts, I'm having trouble doing some of the exercises, and, you know, I'm having difficulty doing the mantra. And you know what this tells me? You just asserted.
You just, yeah.
It's working.
And it's nice to see sharing it, because it's giving us something.
Everything's
appropriate. So.
Yeah. If you folks don't ask, you know, there's so much knowledge, but if you don't ask the question, you don't necessarily get the answer. Right?
The only stupid question is a question that isn't asked.
Good girl. Good girl. Okay. How did we do on do-goods this past week? Jim, what about you?
I've had a lot of do-goods. You know, since I started paying attention to them, a lot of telephone do-goods and some things I thought were do-good and do-goodies, but I've received some money that I didn't realize I was going to get, and I thought that was nice.
Oh, that's
not
wonderful.
Not a lot, just a little bit, but that was nice.
Uh-huh.
I'd forgotten all about that it was coming and why, and it just, there it was, I needed it. So.
Uh-huh, and it came timely.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, a little comment about this. One of the things you should be realizing, remember these words, form follows thought. Form follows thought. What you think, you create. What you think with your unconscious mind, you create even more strongly than with your conscious mind. But what you create, or what you think, you create, you bring to you. For years, I have been doing this with money, and I think everybody should be aware of this. The universe has an inexhaustible supply of everything that you need. It can support every life in the universe. We're all a part of it. If in your thinking you are limited, you will limit yourself in your material world. If in your thinking you project wealth, you project affluence, you will draw that wealth and affluence to you. Okay? And I'm not saying that you can project, I want to win $1 million and you're going to get it.
Well,
but when you have a focus for what you need, you will get that. Okay? The key is not I want this money to sit in the bank. The key is I want to achieve this result, and the finances or the material necessities to meet that result will come. Okay? But you've got to be able to focus the thought on that and then let it go. This is one of the reasons you've been practicing all of your telepathy exercises so that you can get good at that.
Yeah, it really is universal into everything.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you could use a little extra money, and so you manifested the extra money.
Well, I'm trying to win the lottery, but I don't really believe I'm going to win it. That's the problem.
So then you won't win it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're self-limiting. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, what I had said before, what I do is periodically, I don't handle bills. I hate to deal with money. So my husband handles all of that stuff. But every once in a while, I say to him, how are we doing, honey? You know? And sometimes he says, oh, we're ahead, that's great. Sometimes he says, you know, we're in the hole. And if he says we're in the hole, I just say, well, how much? Meaning, how much do we need? Okay? And whatever it is that we need, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, that amount of work will come in to cover the difference. Mm. All we have to do is say, we need this cash flow. All we have to do is pinpoint it. This is the deficit. It needs to be met. And now, I'm not saying that, you know, somebody comes along and gets me with this, but the work will be there to be able to get it. The means to get it will be there. Okay? Sometimes it's a gift, but not always. That was a good do-good. Karen, what was your best do-good?
Well, I had two of them, and one I did say earlier, when the water thing yesterday before this happened, I had an intuition or a feeling about the water not being okay, and then it wasn't okay. Today. And another thing is I was taking a walk and I sensed that some car would be turning. Now, where I walk up in Northport is real desolate. I go a mile around. And I get kind of worried sometimes, so I kind of said, oh, and there was. A car came around and it was the Domino Pizza car.
Uh-huh.
So then I felt I was safe.
Uh-huh.
But before that, just a split second before, I had a feeling of unsafety that there might be some, and the car had come. It was strange.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear it either. I mean, you couldn't hear it from the street or anything. So those were, it's there, you know,
yeah,
it's there for
that's
everybody.
Good, very good. And you?
I'm still working on telephones. I'm beginning to understand when the phone rings.
Hey,
that's
very good. That's good practice.
Excellent. Really, especially at home.
Yeah.
Come on, answer that. Yeah, better.
I should have done that before.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty good.
By the way, speaking of telephones, I think something else happened too to you tonight, Jim. When you answered that phone, which ear did you put it to?
Left ear.
Okay. Do yourself a favor, okay? And from now on, when you answer the phone, answer it and put it to your right ear. Okay,
well,
that's very important.
But I was playing with the computer.
Even at home, no, put it on the right ear. Once you know that the person on the other end is not going to drain you or attack you in any way, then shift it over to your receiving ear.
Oh.
Left ear receives, right ear sends. Haven't you ever noticed that even though your hearing might test exactly equal on an audiogram, you feel as if you hear better with your left ear? Most people do tend to answer the phone with the phone to their left ear because of that.
Me too. I answer with it to the left.
Yeah. And if you do, you're going to find yourself more often than not getting zapped by phone calls. Energy travels over telephone calls better than any place. Those lines don't just carry electricity. They carry emotional thought and emotional magnetic energy very, very well.
Yes, my son can really zap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But if you've got him on the right ear, you'd laugh at it if you're watching me with my mother. She'll call, and I answer the phone with my right ear. And most of the time, I'll find out she's in a good mood. So the phone will shift back to the left ear, and we have a nice, deep conversation. But inevitably, she decides that she's going to press some emotional buttons because she wants to feed on the energy. There are only two ways of piercing the aura and allowing somebody to steal your energy because your aura is pierced. One is by having sex with them, and then you cannot keep that person from attacking or draining. The other way is if they make you fearful. So if somebody does something to you to create fear, to make you fear, you know that that person's trying to drain your energy or trying to in some way gain control. Yeah, so as soon as if you feel insecure, if you feel uncertain, if you feel any negative emotion that you can track back to a fear response, instead of being afraid of that person, your first thought should be, what do they have to gain from me? At any rate, what I do with my mother when she goes into what I call her attack mode is I shift her back to my right ear. And it's amazing, because at that point, it falls on deaf
ears.
Uh-huh. And if it continues once she's on my right ear, okay, the right ear is not a receiving ear, but remember it does hear, so the ears by their very nature are receptive. So even after she's attacking for a while on the right ear, it can't get through as readily, but if it starts to get through, what I do is I start to watch TV or I watch the birds outside, i.e. I allow my attention to drift. Because when my attention is not on her, I have shut her out. And usually at that point, she'll say, well, I have to go now. I'll give you a call tomorrow. And I'll say, fine, that sounds great, Mom. And I hang up, okay? It's just a little key, because the telephone, as you're developing your psychic sensitivity, you're reaching out over that telephone line without even realizing it. This is why 900 numbers in psychics can be so successful. It really does work. The thing is that as a receptive individual, especially in the business world, every time you answer that phone, you're setting yourself up for the slaughter unless you remember what I just said. And you may indeed have been attacked by that salesperson before you left the house.
It was a survey.
And don't think those survey people don't attack. Why? Why do survey people attack on the phone?
Oh, sure. Well, they're either trying to sell you something or...
Right. It's a sales pitch, a form of an attack.
He was trying to sell me something, but he didn't do it.
Right. And so you had to resist, and as you resisted, he attacked. It's still an attack.
Right. It's still an attack.
The other reason that survey people tend to attack is that so many people are obnoxious with them. And remember, pardon my French, but shit runs downhill.
That's right.
Okay. What would your best do, good David?
I really haven't been paying too good of attention to them. The only one, I guess, that I had was that had to do with the lottery too. Was that I couldn't find a lottery ticket that I had bought a couple. I'm bad about looking at them. If I see somebody won or didn't win, then I'm not really much interested if it's only worth a couple of dollars. But anyway, I just had the feeling that, you know, that ticket was worth at least, you know, a few dollars buy another ticket. And when I finally did find it, it did have three numbers on it, so it would be worth
wonderful.
Like $4.
Oh, boy.
It's a start.
Something else to keep in mind.
This is just another little thing, but it's very interesting, is that I think of energy in terms of getting into ruts, okay? If, as Jim said, he thinks of himself as never going to win the lottery, that's his lottery rut, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You see? He can't win because the thought has created that rut. If he wants to get that I can't win rut out of that into the winning rut, he's going to start the way David is. David says, well, I don't think it's going to be a lot, but maybe $1. Well, he wins his $1. Yeah. The next time he plays, he says, well, I can win $1, I can win $2. He gets, and little by little, he pushes himself out of the rut. So next time, double it, make it 8. And you can do that. Okay?
Yeah, it's a good way to manifest something. It is true. It is true.
Okay. David, who were you working with? You were last week in your telepathy?
Actually, two people.
Okay.
Jim, and I was late in sending.
I thought that you were
late.
I thought it was 9 o'clock. And I have Cub Scouts on my team last night, and we got home about 20 to 9 and do homework with Michael. And it was 9:30, and he's brushing his teeth on him in his room during our nightly ritual. I thought, see, then I said, you did that on purpose, James. But then I looked in my book just now. So what I did was I sent it then. It was about 9:35. And I thought I got something, but I don't know whether I was imagining it or not.
Well, what do you think you got?
I think I got, it was like in a bubble. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a female dressed all in white with dark hair, and it was blurry. I couldn't get out much detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was a female.
Did you send it in a thought form this time?
Yeah, I did.
Very good. You picked the bubble up.
It was in a... the hair was long, dark, kind of wavy. I don't know. I didn't really visualize what they were wearing. So
it was like flowing gowns, and I thought, why would he send somebody who almost looked like a choir robe or something, or an angel?
I also wonder if maybe, remember I had said, let's look at the aura. And also see if that person has any illness, mentally or physically, and diagnose it.
Yeah,
see what you can pick up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wondering if maybe the white in the gown was your unconscious giving you the white aura. Because an aura can, a lot of times when you look at the aura, you're going to see white.
It's shimmery. The image that I saw was shimmery. It didn't have a lot of detail on it.
Yeah, that was your aura that you were seeing. And that's what you were supposed to see.
And I thought, how hard are you imagining this?
Did you pick up any illness or any problem?
No.
Okay. Does this person have any kind of illness?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't have picked it up. Did you long distance view him?
No. Okay. I forgot all about it. I was just so, felt so bad that I'd missed the 9 o'clock and I thought, well, maybe
well, it sounds like you worked it out.
Because the energy, you said if you send it there, it'll wait.
Right, in the thought form.
So I sent it that way.
Uh-huh.
And little did I know that I was sending it instead of doing it at 9:30, like we said, and then you'd send, I sent it when you were supposed to be sending it to me. And that's why I got that image right after I sent it.
Uh-huh. And David, what did you send?
Well, that's what I did
say. Well, what did you... It is what you sent, so he connected well. When did you receive them?
What did I receive? I didn't receive it till today. Last night, I didn't really feel
it. Well, I sent it again today.
Ah!
And to me, it was a... I keep thinking that was a young version of you. I mean, it was a boy with... dark hair. Sort of... At first I was thinking he was like 14 or 15 years old, but then I thought, as I thought about him, I thought, no, he's not really. He's a big boy. He looks bigger than he is.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean by big? Like tall or heavy?
Just not really fat. Just
bigger,
a big...
Big for his age.
You know... He looked more like he should have been 14, and he probably, in my mind I thought he was more like 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
10. And I don't know. It just to me, I had the feeling that it would be your son. But
and before you go on, did you see his aura?
No, I didn't.
Forgot to look at that. Did you pick up any illness or potential for it?
No, I
forgot to do that part too. Okay. And did you long distance view him?
Well, the image that came to me, and I don't know, it was that you had brown pants on and maybe a...
Yes, I did. It was a scout knife.
And I was going to say like an off-white, tannish kind of shirt, but I don't know if that would be...
I didn't wear my scout shirt. I don't remember what. No, I had my knot shirt on.
Got a lot of it, though.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
you obviously
strange.
Didn't really send your son, but you sent him. Now,
well,
tell us about it.
As we were discussing this
uh-huh.
last week, and you were talking about the thought bubble, and I was thinking, as I did this every time we've done this, I thought about, I'm going to send Michael. He's 10.
Uh-huh.
He's tall for his age. He has wavy hair. And I used to have it, too. And
right.
And I thought, and I pictured him while we were talking, and I put him in an energy bubble, and I must send him off. And he floated around out there until I pushed him to you, because I was debating on whether to send a friend of mine, who I know is ill, to see if you could pick up his aura. And that's who I tried to send to you. But I was thinking about doing Michael. So I think what I did was, I let Michael go and held on to John, and didn't send him. And I thought, this morning, I was thinking about sending him. I should have said I should have sent Michael. And I did the whole thing again, and I did. So I sent him again this morning. And he's 10. He looks older than 10 because he's tall for his age.
Well, you guys did wonderfully.
Yeah.
I think you would give them a hand. They did
really well. That
was very impressive. Very
I thought I made that up.
You didn't make it up? Very impressive. Excellent.
That scares me, I have to say that.
Yeah, I know, but don't be like my old friend Janie, get up and leave and say, this isn't me, because
no,
it's you, you did it.
I want to do it.
Okay. Well, new friend Jane and Karen, how did you two do?
Okay. Well, I received, and I don't know, like you, I always feel I'm imagining it, it was a lady with very white hair, and all I could think about for now for the last 3 days is lime green. God, it's about that lime, like a lime, you know, that limey green, like a bell-bottom top. I've seen women, like older women, wear them, like with the set, you know, the top jacket and that. And that's why I couldn't see her face or anything. That's all I kept getting.
Did you do anything with the aura or whether she had any illness?
I couldn't even see her face. Basically, the white hair was very white.
Uh-huh.
And that lime green was really distracting as uh-huh. far as what you... It was like that, you know, you ever
right.
see these t-shirts they sell? Those
yeah.
lime green or those hot pink
uh-huh. Feedback, Jane?
Well, I sent you my mother, and she does have white, blackish white hair, a little whiter than mine. And she does have a lime green top. Whether she was wearing it today, you saw her.
I'll tell
but
you that.
It's a pitiful thing she wears to work in the yard.
Yeah, it's right. I'm like talking brighty, and I'm
yeah,
thinking about it.
It's awful. I keep telling her to throw it away.
That's good. That's good.
So,
and what did you receive, Jane?
Well, I'm confused because I work with him and
okay.
both.
Yeah, so we now, may have had a little crossover over here.
I received a boy about 14
mm-hmm.
from somebody. And I thought it was from Karen.
Uh-huh.
But I had plenty of money.
I thought about sending it to you. Remember you said you can work with me? I thought yeah. about sending something to you, and yeah. I didn't think I did it. But
the person I saw a blue aura around him. And
was he dark-haired, light-haired?
A dark-haired.
Okay.
And it looked like at one time he might have hurt a right arm was hurting or sprained or something to him. But I don't know, you know, and that's all I got. And I'm not that, I didn't see where Karen was, you know,
uh-huh.
when I was working with her. So.
Okay.
And then I also worked with David.
Okay, what did you think you got from him?
From David, I got a woman, middle-aged, with ash brown hair and middle 30s.
Uh-huh.
And I kept seeing her feet, and I don't know why feet kept popping out of me. You know,
her feet hurt.
Her feet were hurting or what? I don't know.
Okay. See any color to the aura?
Not on her. Yeah, I think I did. I think I saw sort of a pinkish, but I won't swear to it. I didn't
okay.
write it
so
down.
So you might have interpreted that as a very loving nature, that
yeah,
that
yeah.
color.
And I saw David, and he was having a cup of coffee in his kitchen.
Okay. David,
and
he's back
on the 9th, it was early morning.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I did send, I don't know the woman. I mean, it just was a picture of somebody that I saw on a magazine, and she was, I would say, in her 30s. She did have long, dark, curly hair. I don't know why you would pick out the feet. She was a muscular woman, but
she probably had trouble with
her
feet.
She might have had trouble with her feet.
Now,
yeah.
The impression I got of her, just you know, looking at her, at the, she looks like she would be a happy but kind of an assertive
mm-hmm.
type.
Mm-hmm.
Person, just you know,
yeah.
from
yeah.
looking.
Well, it sounds like you did very good on the physical part of the description. The rest, we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And Karen, had you sent her the boy?
No, I didn't send her a boy. I'm trying to think. No, you want me to tell you what I sent?
Mm-hmm.
I sent you one of my patients, which was Sidney Hoffman. He has one leg missing, and I thought, and I had you sitting, and I sent it in a bowl and threw it in your head. And you're sitting at a kitchen table.
No, you did not pick him up.
No, I didn't.
No, she didn't pick him up at all. But I do think that she probably got your son again.
Well, I thought about working with Jake because she mentioned it.
Right.
I thought, well, I'll send her Michael and I.
Because he would look about 14. And
yeah.
Did he ever have any problem with either arm? Because what she picked up as a right arm might actually have been a left arm.
I'm trying to think. That's his brother. Had a green stick fracture. And I don't think Michael is... He's a boy. He falls off, and he's
mm-hmm.
a bully boy.
Yeah.
And I think he mentioned something about his arm hurting yesterday.
So there might have been something
sore.
Minor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you, just out of curiosity, was there a synchronicity, Jim, between the time that you sent and the time that Karen sent? See, what I'm wondering if maybe one of you might have superseded the other.
I can't
yeah.
remember.
I was
saying about Dave, and I finally remembered his name,
mm-hmm.
which that's a problem I'm having
right.
in my mind. And then Jane had said before we left, she said, if you want to work with me, I'd be glad to work with you.
And you had sent it out in the thought form then?
Well, this is when we left.
Right.
And when I was thinking, well, maybe I will send it to Jane, and I pictured Michael. And,
okay. I suspect what happened is it was sitting around all week.
Yeah.
When you sat down to work with Karen, came in, and you accepted that and then blocked Karen's thought.
Yeah, I worked with Karen last Friday morning.
Okay.
So
and
I
he did it just before. Yeah.
But I was sending it around since last Thursday.
Yeah. That's what happened then. So the reason I said that, Karen, is don't lose heart because it didn't work. Because I think that it probably did work, but Jane wasn't listening because she assumed she already got it.
Yeah, well, if your mind is on to something else,
right.
You know, I did some other things in the past, in the last series, that darn orange circle that I sent.
And it hit everybody.
It sent to everybody because I thought about everybody before I sent it to Laura.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but that back in the beginning in that Psychic Development 1, when we first started working, Laura was at one point working with everyone in class.
Right,
so if you sent her, she was the link to everybody else. That was kind of, you know, that was not conducive to really learning to send and receive with control, but it was very interesting to give you some insight as to just how interconnected we all are in our thoughts without realizing it. Okay?
Well, I think about the class and about you and your husband often during the week.
Sure, I did too. I think of people, you guys, and I think of Sandy and John, and I think of this room at times.
So we must be touching each other.
Oh, we are constantly. And Jim, any people that you work with in the same office you'll do this with, people that you are in the same home with, people create psychic links. Remember I explained in Psychic Development 1, we live in a neural network. Everyone is connected on various levels, but when you operate or work closely with people, your connections become stronger. Okay, and especially in a class like this, where we're working psychically, we're finally honing those connections, so they get a lot stronger. Probably the only thing that would be stronger than this would be the actual family unit, or a group that you've worked with intimately at work for a long time. You with your students, David, you're going to have the same kind of psychic connection with them because there's such a strong interreaction between you and they.
You teacher, David?
No, I work with mentally retarded people, but you know, I've been with them.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a family connection there. Yeah.
Yes, there would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't we... Yes?
My feet are killing me, David. They hurt me constantly on and off.
Maybe it is where the feet came in.
I always have that, and it comes and it goes, my feet.
What you sent, because I picked up a blonde-haired young boy, and I thought around. Now, there I did think he was probably 13 or 14 with blue eyes. Kind of on the, I guess an average kind of build. And as far as aura, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Did you see where Jane was?
I didn't actually pick up aura, but you know, he almost seemed like he was maybe a little mischievous. And I visualized you wearing a medium kind of gray colored dress.
No. Now the blonde and the blue eyes are correct. It was a woman.
Interesting. And he picked her up as a little boy. I wonder if she had a weird personality.
No, I wouldn't say so.
No. Okay.
And
because he picked, what do you say, mischievous?
Mm-hmm.
Would you describe her as mischievous, or having that kind of sense of humor?
Impish.
Yeah.
No.
That might be a better word.
I really wouldn't describe her.
Okay.
And I wasn't wearing a dress at all.
Okay.
I do have a great dress, but I wasn't wearing it.
Had you been wearing it earlier?
Huh?
Had you either been wearing it earlier or thought of it?
No.
Okay. Okay, but you got the coloring and the icon.
The blonde and the blue.
Right. Well, you
and
all
she's
did.
She's about 5 foot, so.
Yeah, I think that's why you picked her up as a boy. But it's interesting about that impudent or impish personality. I'm wondering if maybe you would see her differently than Jane would see her. There may be another side there. Yeah,
sure, that's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes you perceive something differently.
Sure, that's right, yeah. Well, I think you all did very, very, very well on this assignment. I think this is the best one yet, and this is not easy to do. As I keep telling you, sending